And welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, August 6, 2021. Human rights lawyers have filed a detailed submission about the December 2013 conflict to the Office of the Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court in Hague.
Most of these people want is they want to see justice done. There's great frustration that the promised hybrid court has never been set up, even though now it's been many years since it was promised.
And families are displaced during intercommunal violence in the outskirts of the South Sudan capital, Juba.
We are very many who fled the violence. There are others sheltering at Goryeo and Jondoki.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Human rights lawyers have filed a submission with the Office of the Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court in Hague, seeking an extensive inquiry into the atrocities, crimes against humanity, and war crimes during the conflict that began in 2013 in South Sudan. One of the lawyers who filed the submission says dozens of survivors of the conflict are frustrated justice has been delayed as parties to the revitalized peace deal have yet to form a hybrid court. For VOA News, Onen Walter Solomon reports from Juba.
Kenneth Scott, an international human rights lawyer, war crimes prosecutor, and former UN Commissioner on Human Rights in South Sudan, told South Sudan in Focus from Denver City in the United States that the submission he and other lawyers filed with the ICC was a result of extensive work following consultation with many different sources to support their evidence.
We interviewed various victims of the war, and 31 victims have come forward in particular to support our showing.
Scott declined to disclose the names of the perpetrators of violence. He says it's up to the International Criminal Court to decide who they would charge. Scott says he has provided detailed information concerning the alleged responsible parties.
It's clear from the evidence that's been gathered so far that a great deal of the displacement was conducted by government troops, and it was done on such a widespread and systematic basis.
Scott says some of the violence and displacement was also carried out by people in the opposition, adding, quote, there could be responsibility on multiple sides, end quote. He says the victims and other parties are seeking ICC support and want to see the perpetrators of alleged war crimes and atrocities held responsible and receive reparations for the abuses they suffered.
Most of these people want is they want to see justice done. There's great frustration that the promised hybrid court has never been set up, even though now it's been many years since it was promised. And there's a great deal of frustration among the people, and the people want to see justice done.
Scott says the processes involve the ICC commencing a preliminary examination of the petition. Following that, he says the office of the prosecutor would make a further determination to go to the court for approval for a full investigation before any indictments are processed. He said similar steps were carried out in Ukraine, the state of Georgia, and Colombia, among other countries. Scott says there was increasing frustration with both the South Sudan government and the African Union regarding the alleged atrocities committed in South Sudan, prompting the lawyers to seek ICC intervention. He said the African Union was empowered by the regional peace agreement of 2015 and the revitalized agreement of September 2018 to set up a hybrid court.
Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. So I think now that the desire is to reach out to other possibilities. And if it isn't going to be the hybrid court, then it should be the International Criminal Court, which should certainly come in alongside any other efforts that might be made.
Chapter 531 of the 2018 peace deal states there shall be established an independent hybrid judicial court, the hybrid court for South Sudan, by the African Union Commission to investigate and, where necessary, prosecute individuals bearing responsibility for violations of international law and or applicable South Sudanese law committed from 15th December 2013 through the end of the transitional period. Pokboth Baluang, Director for Information and Acting Press Secretary in the Office of First Vice President Dr. Riek Machar, said they have not received any official report from human rights lawyers that warrants a comment from the SPLM AIO, but says the party is requesting details of the submission filed with the ICC.
Who are these members of the IO that has been mentioned? Where this the alleged atrocities or crimes against humanity was committed? We need all these details so that I can know. Honestly, we did not come across this report.
Government spokesperson and Information Minister Michael Makwe did not answer repeated calls requesting for comment on this report. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon in Juba.
Still in Juba, unspecified number of people were killed and hundreds of others displaced from their homes in central Equatorial State following intercommunal fighting among cattle keepers. The commissioner of Juba County says 8 people were killed and 7 others injured on Wednesday night. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Chief Abraham Majok sits quietly under a big tree surrounded by his relatives who fled alongside him during the intercommunal fighting 2 days ago in Korojik Payam. Majok says he is tired from the long journey and has not eaten any food in the past 2 days. Majok and thousands of others are displaced South Sudanese sheltering at New Side Primary School compound near the Bilfa military headquarters in Juba. Majok says his community does not know what caused the fighting. He says villagers woke up to the sounds of gunfire Wednesday night and everyone fled in fear. He says the IDPs are in dire need of humanitarian assistance, including shelter and clean drinking water.
We are very many who fled the violence. There are others sheltering at Goryeo and Jondoki areas. As you see, these children are hungry and have not eaten anything in the past 3 days. We came empty-handed because the fighting was heavy and we had to run to save our lives. That is why we left all our belongings at our homes. Right now, there are too many mosquitoes since we are sleeping under these trees here. Our situation is really dire because this is the second day we spent here without anything.
Cecilia Abuk, a mother of 7 children, says she believes the attackers are from the Kobura sections of the Mundari community. She is urging the Kobura and the Tali communities to settle their disputes peacefully and desist from violence, which she says leads to killing and the displacement of innocent people.
Back at home, before we came here, at least our husbands would go and look for jobs to bring food on the table. But with this senseless fighting between Kobura and Tali, some women have lost their husbands just after 1 or 2 children. Even those who just got married, their husbands were equally killed. We don't understand when the intercommunal fighting will end.
Abuk says she is afraid of what might happen if their children become sick and they do not have money for medication. Peter Modi, another internally displaced person, says ever since they arrived at the school, they have received no assistance from the government.
They should urgently come and rescue these children and the elders. I want the government to give me protection so that we can go back to our areas because we want to go look after our farms. As we speak, our crops such as granates and maize are ready to... That is why we need to go back. Our women used to go take their vegetables to the markets, but now... With this situation, everything has been closed.
Juba County Commissioner Charles Joseph Wani says at least 8 people were killed and another 7 others injured, and thousands have been displaced by the fighting. Wani says the state government has sent security forces to the area to ease the tension in Korejik Payam of Juba County. He says state authorities have yet to establish the cause of the fighting, but he says there is a speculation that it was a revenge attack.
I cannot tell exactly because the investigation is going on. And what we know that is that a person killed the day before yesterday, and people now thought of that person who was killed is the one that connected the whole process and the whole situation from the other side of Kobura, which was killed by Mutare Tale. And then yesterday morning, there was a camera attack.
Last night, Central Equatoria State Governor Emmanuel Adil Anthony called for emergency meeting of the Council of Ministers to discuss the violence. A statement issued by Governor after the meeting condemned the fighting and called on Mundari leaders to help find a lasting solution to the ongoing fighting. The statement says the Governor has formed a ministerial committee to expedite the delivery of humanitarian and relief assistance to those who are gravely affected by the violence. The Minister of Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management was not immediately available for comment. Peter Gatwich, the Ministry Undersecretary, was said to be held up in a meeting. Last year, similar fighting took place between sections of the Mundari community, which led to the displacement of thousands of people who fled to Juba. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Still on conflict, thousands of people displaced from their homes in Tambora County of Western Equatoria State due to intercommunal violence over the past few months are in dire need of life-saving assistance. The displaced families say they lack food, shelter, and medicine. For VOA News, Siba Martin Murangi reports from Juba.
A majority of the internally displaced persons, or IDPs, are sheltering in St. Mary's Church compound and the Adesa Secondary School compound in Tambora County. One of the IDPs, Margaret Degbeosa Nerby, says she and others at the compound lack food, health care, medicine, and sanitation facilities. Nerby says the IDPs are living in a filthy environment and are pleading with aid agencies to help them.
Small kids will die from hunger. There is no service for us. When you try to go pick food, you just get problem of being slaughtered. When people are displaced, there is need for first aid to kids. We are likely to get cholera. Hunger can even kill people. We don't have any plastic sheeting to sleep under. Even the pit latrines are not there.
Mary Teresio Bapia is calling on aid agencies to provide health care and food. She says elderly people and those living with disabilities, including the blind and deaf, are particularly vulnerable.
Yes, there were latrines dug in the church premises, but the combination of many people now is too much and it looks bad. It can lead to serious attacks of diseases to kids. The most help we need is healthcare and food, because you will soon start to hear that we are dying in the church compound here due to hunger.
Daniel Usini, another IDP, says no aid agency has provided life-saving assistance since he and other villagers were displaced a month ago.
Since the beginning of the conflict, all the NGOs in Tambora have never rendered support equally to us, the internal displaced persons, in a proper way. In case they want to help us, please channel it through our church. IDPs have been registered, but not correctly, according to the different places. People come in the names of their headmen.
Albert Dabira, the Acting Relief and Rehabilitation Commission Director for Tambora County, says more than 6,000 people have been displaced in Tambora County. Gatwet Peter Kulang, the Undersecretary in the National Ministry for Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management, says he is aware of the plight of the IDPs in Tambora. He says his ministry is working with aid agencies like the World Food Program to support the displaced.
Yes, the support will be coming, no doubt. Only that, with the current time, our partners WFP also, are they already been there. All our networks, the humanitarian agencies already, they are there on the ground. It's confirmed that we all work for that incident now.
It is not clear how many people have died so far in intercommunal fighting in Tumbra County. For VOA News, I'm Seba Martin Murangi in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what do you do when you are in a bad mood?
I usually would move away from the environment of the agitation and then get a quiet place and pray. Usually when I'm done praying, the agitation and the stress, I get some amount of relief.
Sometimes I decide to sleep and maybe read a novel that can make my mind come like back to normal. Yeah, that's what I normally do.
I rather stay alone and I listen to music, uplifting music, music that has good lyrics that would uplift my spirit.
Okay, when I'm in the bad mood, I sometimes play video games just to make me feel happy.
Actually, I call mom, I talk to her, tell her what's disturbing me. She advises me, then I stay down there.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. We have received many comments from you this week. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with interesting comments about issues in our news. Over to you, Nabil Biagio.
Thanks, John. We heard from several of you about our news coverage of events this past week, including the swearing-in of members of parliament in South Sudan. David Aloro from Yei writes, "I am very happy with the swearing-in of the newly appointed members of parliament. My message to MPs is that you are the voices of every South Sudanese citizen, not individual MPs. Faster development in the nation by checking which areas need development. I wish all of you good challenges in your new position. May God bless you in your new positions." James Roy Madrok from Unity State's Bentiu Town says, "I congratulate the Transitional National Legislative Assembly for swearing in the newly revitalized government. We need peace in the country rather than fighting each other. Let government officials work hard to implement the revitalized peace agreement that they have signed." Hilary Dani from Kampala says, "Congratulations to the sworn-in MPs. My concerns are, summon the Minister of Telecom to explain why Zain and MTN companies are cheating citizens. 2. Summon the Minister of Interior to explain why we still have unknown gunmen in the country causing a lot of insecurity. 3. The newly sworn-in MPs should resolve the land-grabbing issue which is taking place. 4. Summon the mayor of Juba City Council and question him as to why his office is charging exorbitant fees and not delivering any service. They have failed to keep the city clean. And finally, MPs should not be a yes parliament because they are the voice of the voiceless." Mungu Idada from Central Equatoria State writes, "Dear John Tanza and Nabil Biagio, please allow me to thank and appreciate the government of Central Equatoria State for adopting one of the best international practices of building constructions where prospective landlords have to obtain approval for the building. Although the approval fee is too much, this is a step towards stamping out the rampant land grabbing in the country. I am encouraging the other 9 states to emulate the government of Central Equatoria State. I pray for more grace unto you and abundant wisdom to show the right path to the people of South Sudan." Stephen Musema Julius Ilia from Yumbe District says, "Good evening, John Tanza and the team of VOA. I ask a question to all South Sudanese, whether you're a leader or civilian. What is the reason as to why leaders think they're leaders and will remain leaders even in graves? How will you feel seeing your people dying and staying away from home?" Mading Malwal Alwong from Malakal Town says, "The liberator sense of ownership and entitlement destroyed this country because they think it is their entitlement to oppress their opponents or their critics with impunity, kill, arrest, and do whatsoever they want with this beautiful country. They took away the power from we, the people, and centralized power within the elite who now decide for the millions of South Sudanese. They tend to forget what they fought against the Khartoum government are the same issues they seriously are worse than our previous oppressors. Since 2011, we have the political leaders rotating and cycling within the same government from one institution to another. Jacob Dior from Eurolake State says, "The call from the new civil society coalition activists for an uprising in South Sudan is a bombshell which many South Sudanese are not ready for. We have suffered enough in the recent two senseless wars. This group was in government a few years ago and they didn't change anything. Why call on us to be humiliated in their name? Did Libya and other states have peace after the Arab uprising? Their call is contrary to the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement." Malo wrote from Juba writes, "My message to all South Sudanese is let us promote the culture of peace and love in our communities. Our people have lived in pain and suffering for so many decades. This is the right time to build South Sudan to be better than before. The absence of war is a benefit to all living things and non-living things. Let us join hands for the development of South Sudan. Stay blessed, one nation, one people." John Chol Manyon Majok of Rombek County says, "Today, His Excellency Governor of Lake State, Lieutenant General Rintuen Mabor, has shown good leadership of accountability, generosity and transparency to citizens of Lake State and Bahar Ghazal in general, where there is no cattle theft, no cattle raiding, no road ambushes, as well as abolition of revenge killings among the conflicting communities of Lake State. I wish he would be in power longer for the betterment of peaceful coexistence." Joseph Awier in Juba writes, "John Tanzan, Nabil Piaggio, it is absolutely a job well done by updating the South Sudanese on the current situation in the country because our politicians aren't transparent on how our country is moving with this nightmare economic crisis and deteriorating security, cattle raiding, child abduction and revenge killing, and the national government is keeping quiet on the matter. We don't expect anyone to come and intervene to stop all sorts of atrocities happening in our country." Morwalded Nyot Chawul from Juba says, "Hello VOA. First and foremost, I have condemned the action plan and ideas of killing professional medical doctors, lawyers, humanitarian aid workers, and journalists by criminals in South Sudan. The killing has been happening several times in Bentiu, Akobo, Duk, and Pajud, apart from other areas in South Sudan. I am sorry for what happened in Jonglei by killing a medical clinical officer as they take assets of the country. Rest in peace, late Mabior Manyok." Daniel Dak in Lake State says, "I appreciate General Salvador Kiir Mayardit, who appointed General Rintuen Mabor Deng as governor for peace and stability, as the state is now calm and civilians are moving freely between states, counties and payams. Congratulations." Martin Manuel Wugol writes, "Hello VOA, allow me to extend my heartfelt congratulations to Honorable Gemma Nunu Kumba and all South Sudanese women upon the well-deserved appointment of the first female speaker to preside over the male-dominated parliament of 550 MPs representing political parties, signatories to the revitalized peace agreement. Peace oye, unity oye, women oye." Iskopas Juma from Kiryandongo district in Uganda writes, "As refugees, we need help in this current situation because the weather in Uganda is not good. There is a high rate of sunshine in Uganda and the government of South Sudan should think about their citizens in a foreign country. One day we need a VOA journalist to come and update our voices so that the world can hear how refugees are suffering in Kiryandongo district of Uganda." Saber Isaac Hamis in Jabra Khartoum says, "The dispute within SPLA-IO leadership is posing a threat to the entire SPLA-IO. Dr. Machar needs to strategize his leadership style within the military wing because the senior SPLA-IO officers whom he has fired are very strong SPLA-IO officers who can't just be dumped minus an assignment. If that dispute is not settled amicably, it will lead to a serious division within the IO military wing. The best thing is to urgently meet with the three senior officers before it escalates into a huge misunderstanding. The people of South Sudan need the reconstituted government to move forward." Gatiek Wichar in Cairo, Egypt says, "It appears that there is a naked power struggle in the rank and file of the SPLM-IO, and this move could be viewed not only as a betrayal to Machar, but it is also a lack of analysis and ignorance of the defected generals about how peace agreements work. As a concerned SPLM-IO member, I call on Dr. Machar to prioritize only educated young men by testing them with responsibilities over the old ones, since youth are the backbone and future of South Sudan who know what is better for their country. And finally, Kur Agutiar from Bor Town says, the current SPLM-IO in Juba are claiming that the situation is under control. Where is their headquarters, since General Gatwit Dual has controlled the headquarters? The views expressed here do not reflect the views of this program or of VOA. Thanks for telling us what you think. Keep those comments coming.
Thanks for sending your comments about issues in our news. Keep them coming. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. Let us know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. When I leave you with Tutu Party by Emerson.
I dey watch like a bottom step and die. I see short skirts, hey, a mini skirt. Oh, who's one for dance sweet when this party go start? I want salet, yeah. I want ballet.
What you want?
Macale, and the party back me alle.
Overload,
no to your business. Party na party, you come. Left me make a overload. If you at you gonna do, oh, oh, yeah, yeah. A body. Every man deserves a lady. Come to party, oh no. Come jam, shake your body. Come show me, say you savvy. If you really ready, oh no. Before you even start the party, check for G-string or bikini. If not that man, then ready, oh no. Come see tutu, so jam and so we at the party. But you wellington can it get already. Baba boss, lock up tea. Baba do we waiting you say. Tell me if you really done ready. Yeah, yeah,
see
yeah,
me
yeah.
Dance, they swing and they bounce it. No one say, I think I'm to the party.
You see me they jump, they swing cool and cozy.
No one say, I think I'm to the party.
If you see me among sexy, beautiful ladies.
No for say, I think I'm too too bad. Say,
we've been listening to Emerson and his song Tutu Party. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your phones, homes, and vehicles. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Boston girls, them tutu not 4x9. Freetown girls, them tutu, they fast forward everywhere, yeah. All night long, yeah, 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 yeah. Show me your motion,
my woman, show me your motion. My woman, show me your motion. My woman, show me your motion. Yeah.